Lord Jesus, this is a great congregation, Psalm 45. You are not holding back your righteousness from the great congregation, your people, redeemed by your blood, indwelt by your Holy Spirit. Help us, lead us, teach us, bless our night tonight in fellowship with the deep calling to the deep. We need help, application. The anointing is our teacher. We do not need that any natural man teach us, but we have an anointing from God. Wow. That you teach us. Help us live this life, Lord. Help us live this life as you want us to your glory. In Christ's name, amen. Wow. A couple of verses, Isaiah 9, the first one, and this is the beautiful verse 5. Where are we? 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Notice those two phrases. They are really the hypostatic union of the divine with the natural. A child is born of the seed of David. And a son is given, the eternal Son of God, who has always been and always will be. Is this child the everlasting God? Is this child the Father? Is he called Father? Is this child the union of man and God? Look at verse 6. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. He carries on his shoulder government. What kind of government? World, global, universal, the King of Kings. On his girdle, he has some keys. I was counting them today. He has the key to death, the key to hell, and he has the key to the church. Wow. Who is he? Look at verse 6. His name shall be called Wonderful. I think there's nothing that lifts our hearts more than the wonder. The wonder. Have you lost wonder in your life? Old people lose their wonder. Little children are constantly fascinated with the wonder of the natural created world. Look at the dog, he licked my hand. Look at the bee go to the flower. Look at the bird on the telephone wire. What is happening? Children are amazed. They have wonder. Old people. But Christ is wonderful. Christ never loses the wonder. And the Holy Spirit is in us, where we see him. Look at verse 6. Counselor. Is there ever a need for a counselor? Why do we come to church? For counsel. Why do I have a Bible? For counsel. Do I need a counselor? Who is my counselor? Nothing less than God. Huh? God, Christ, God, man. Christ, our counselor. Where is Christ today? He is seated on the throne and indwelling all of us that believe in him. We have the Spirit of Christ, the wisdom of Christ, the joy of Christ, the purpose in Christ. Then the next word, title, the Mighty God. Is Christ God? Of course, he's God. That's what makes our religion different from all other religions. They don't have God as a man. They have many gods. They have many ideas. They have a God that is not a man. They have a God who is called Allah in Arabic. He is God. But he is so far removed from my humanity. He is so far removed from me. Does he feel what I feel? Does he know? Can I decide things? Can I make decisions? Does God walk with us? Is he in us? Has God become a man so he can identify and say to us, I know what pain is. I know what hunger and thirst is. I know what it is to be tempted, though I never sinned. But I was born of the Virgin in Bethlehem, and I am God. I was meditating recently, God died on the cross, and I don't allow myself to say God died. But then I checked myself. God died on the cross. Well, how could God die? He did. He is Christ. He is the mighty God. Who died on the cross? God. The mighty God. A mighty God that is so mighty that he would be so humble to be a man and God and die a shameful death in front of the whole world to draw us to him. Wow. To draw us. My hands have been stretched out all day long to a disobedient and gainsaying people. That's at the end of Romans 10. And when I think of that verse, I think of the cross. My arms are stretched out all day long to a people, to all of us. Wow. He is the mighty God. And then look at the next title, the Everlasting Father. Well, we always read in our Gospels that Jesus prayed to the Father. But now we read something different. Jesus prayed to the Father. And by the way, the Father is not the Son. The Father is not the Holy Spirit. The Father is the Father. And the Son is not the Father. And the Holy Spirit is not the Son. They are three separate persons in the administration of the Godhead. And if you understand it, there has to be, when you have love, there has to be an object of the love. And there has to be the actual love between them. This is one, this is two, and this is three. It's the reality of the universe is based on the Trinity. Me, you, and that which is between us. Me, God, and that which is between us. The Father, Son, Holy Spirit, forever, eternally past, always existing, never stopping love, never not being occupied with truth, always rejoicing before the Father, Proverbs 8:34. Yes, the Trinity, fascinating, enraptures our heart. He is a wonderful God. He is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Wow. And here, he has the name Father. It says it, doesn't it? Verse 6. The Everlasting Father. And then we have Prince of Peace. I once was soul winning in a truck stop, and there was a guy at the table having a coffee and covered with tattoos and long hair and leather jackets and everything, you know, like a real biker guy. And I was intimidated by his looks, but my faith overcame And of course, I'm not really that intimidated. But, you know, it's easy not to talk to a stranger. It's easy not to say anything. It's easy to go on our way. But maybe God answered prayer by having me open my mouth or slide a track on the table. And he looked up at me and he said, "I am a Christian." And I doubted it. So I asked him some questions. I said, "Really, how did you become a Christian?" He said, "In prison." I said, "What happened?" He said, "Somebody told me about Jesus and I needed Jesus. And Jesus came into my life." And I said, "What's the real thing that, what's the change in your life?" He said, "Peace. I have peace. Christ came into my life and gave me." I go, "What do you do now?" He said, "I drive a truck. And I just drive a truck and all day long I say the name of Jesus. I love Jesus." I go, "Wow, that's amazing." What's the name of God? What's his name? Prince of Peace. If Jesus came into this world and he says, "Peace I give you, not like the world gives. I give you real peace. When you have it, there's a satisfaction because nobody can deal with you and with me without giving us peace." We are so restless. We are so angry about things. We are so upset about life, so troubled in our relationships, so disappointed with people and ourselves. It is so common. This isn't really the message. I want to tell you what the message is, which will come later, but I wanted to share that. So turn to 2 Kings 11. This will not be a long night. No, it will not be a long night, but so glad you came. We got Donnie Fisher from Ohio over here on my right. He's Donnie Fisher's here. All right, we got Pastor Carl from Wilmington. All you folks want to stand up if you're from Wilmington, Delaware. It just encourages us. Look at that group right there. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, and other visitors, you want to raise your hand if you're visiting from outside or first time here in Baltimore, you're visiting, be with us. Anybody, you're welcome. Good to have you. Look at 2 Kings 11, verse 1. When Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal. Okay. This woman had a son who was king. He was killed. She goes, "I'm going to kill all the seed. Nobody is going to be king but me. I will be the queen. I'm going to take them all out." So this is a kind of tyranny, a control move. Usurping is a good word. Usurping, this is the key to the message. I want you to see this word, usurp. It's replacing. It's pushing that I will be in charge, and the legitimate, here's the other word, legitimate leader, I will destroy him, and I will do it. I will take over. I wonder how much this happens in life, where somebody steals from you your lunch, that phrase. Somebody usurps your life. Somebody takes over your stuff. Somebody says, "It's mine, not yours." Yeah. So she did this for some years, but she didn't know that one of the seed and that you've got to follow this. I don't think it's a problem hard for you to follow. The seed of David has to be the king of Judah, the seed, the biological seed. So the children are destroyed, you know, to take away the seed. The monarchy, destroy it, wipe it out. It happened in Russia with the Bolshevik Revolution, happened in France with the French Revolution, to kill the seed. Nobody goes to the throne. The monarchy is over, and destroy it. So it happens in history. And so she's doing it here in this place in Judah. But the nurse hides a little boy. Verse 2. Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah. Don't get tripped over all the names there. I am, but we all do, but don't worry about it. Stole him from among the king's sons which were slain, and they hid him, even him and his nurse, in the bedchamber of Athaliah, so that he was not slain. They hid that a little boy that could be the king, a future for the kingdom. So he's growing up in the temple for 7 years. But I want you to see something here in life, that you have to identify when this happens. You have to identify truth, because truth can be stolen from you. You have to hide it. You have to hide it in your heart. There's a plan by an enemy to take it away, and she will become the queen. That she wants the power over you. She wants the power over you, and she will lie. These are lies. And I encourage you to read the story, but I'm going to hit the same main points very simply, and you follow it with me, because it's very relevant in life that somebody's going to want your stuff, want your life, want your time. Somebody's going to wants to take you out and take over you. Take over, have authority over you. They want to have the authority over you. It's common, honestly happening in many ways in our society and in our daily life. It can happen. It can happen, but I want to teach you something. Would you all stand with me for a minute? Because I want to have you act it out a little bit. You got to use your finger, okay? You got to turn to your neighbor, and I mean, you be relaxed. It's no big deal. Be relaxed, but you got to say, not going to happen. Okay, not going to happen. Okay, go ahead. Yeah, like enjoy it. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, work it up a little bit. Not going to happen. No, it's not yours. No. Go ahead, say it a few times. No. No, no, it's not right. It's a lie. It's a lie. The king has no clothes on. It's a lie. I don't believe that. That's unacceptable. I don't accept it. Athaliah, go back to your bedroom. You're not in charge. I found out that you are a liar. You don't have the legal right. It's not your place. You cannot have it. You are not the king, queen. We got a little boy that's been in the temple for 7 years. And I think of the little boy when they crowned him. They put him back. They put him in authority. I think of the crown kind of on his head. He's 7 years old. And he can hardly stand up with the crown on his head. But he's the king. He's the king. He may not look like it, but he is. And the truth is the truth. And you're a liar, and I found it out. And say that with your finger acting it out a little bit. Shakespearean style. I found it out. I found it out. No, I found it out. Okay, you may be seated. Turn now to the last part of the message is Deuteronomy 33. So we have legal, we have the seed, we have the true king, and he's actually 7 years old when they coronate him. And she cries out, the woman that is not legitimate, she cries out, treason, treason. And they take her out. She goes, treason, okay. She's lying, she's a murderer, and she's lying, and she wants the authority. And then the minority or the legitimate small boy is the one that is, that's the one that we are with. We are with him. We are on his side. We recognize God's order. God has honored him. He is the king. We are recognizing truth. We are living in a world where there are so many lies and so many misconceptions that we got to get rooted and grounded in what it is that we believe, where we stand, what is true. Because, and follow it with me, we are Jews. We are Jews. And what I mean by that is, Paul called us spiritual Jews in Romans 2, 28 and 29. And so when you read your Old Testament, we are not, I'm not saying you are biologically Jewish. Maybe you are, maybe partially or however it goes. That's not my point. But my point is the things written on our Bible is for our learning. And when we understand this little country and what happened in their history, we understand the challenges that we have as believers, that we have to have the same fight in us. We have to have the same understanding that they had. They had to go against the Amalekites, Philistines, the Egyptians, the Syrians, the Babylonians. They had to have it in their heart, the things that God had taught them, and follow. Well, all the more, we are living in a world where there are enemies against us and in our lives, our children, our country, our way of life, our thoughts, our freedom, our books, the Christian movies, The Chosen. Praise God for that series. Incredible work by very gifted, incredible people, touched by the Holy Spirit to help believers understand their Bible and so on. So look at the verse with me, Deuteronomy 33, verse 29. Happy are you, O Israel, who is like unto you, O people saved by the Lord. So you have, O Israel, and you have the people saved by the Lord, and that could be us, you know. We are not Israel, but we are spiritual Israel in a sense. We are not replacing Israel in our Bible. That's called replacement theology. We do not embrace that. We are not replacing Israel. Israel is the earthy seed, and we are the heavenly seed. Remember, in a word, Abraham, God said, Abraham, I bless you. You will be the father of many nations, the father of a great nation and many nations. And Abraham is there. The Lord shows him, takes him out, and he sees the sky and all the stars. This will be the population that comes from you. Wow. Okay. How did it come from him? It came from Christ, came the heavenly. And then the earthy is the sand by the seashore. That's the earthly Jews. So Abraham has both multitudes, earthly Jews, the sand, heavenly Jews, the born-again people that are his people. Go to 29 and we'll finish here. It says, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of your help, who is the sword of thee, who is the sword of thy excellency? And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee. Let's write this down here. Enemies. I wonder how to illustrate this. Enemies. I remember in the Netherlands, for some reason this sticks in my mind, we were at the airport, the plane took off, and there were these row houses down at the end of the airport, and they were inhabited by, it was in the paper, or you know, somebody explained it to me. I don't remember how I got the information, but what is it? Squatters. Yeah, squatters. People move into the houses. They move into the houses and they live there for years, but they don't own the house, but they take over and they live there for years. They're called squatters. You know the term. You know the idea. Are they legal? No, technically no. The owners own the houses, and those people are not legal tenants. They're not paying rent or anything, but they take over. They usurp. They take over, and they say, we live here. We live here, and we have legal rights in the Netherlands. We have a right to live here. We are moved in, and we are taking over. We're living here for years, and this is ours. Okay? Who decides that? The higher authority, the law of the land. And what did they judge? They're intruders. They're not legal. They have to go. You have to go. You're out. The police come, take them out. They're gone. And they may be resisting, and they may be arrested, or however it goes. So think about this for a second. It's a good story. Is anybody taking over your life? Has anybody moved in to take over? And can you say, I found that you, my enemy, you are a liar? That's what it says. Your enemies will be found to be liars. And what do liars say when they want your stuff? I have a right. It is mine. You are in violation. What do they say? They say, no, how about this whole thing about this, our culture? There are many examples, I think, whether it's sexual things or ownership, possession, culture, habits. This is the way we are. This is how I live in America. This is the way we live. This is the way I grew up. I remember living in Hungary, and there was a gypsy population in Hungary, and when we went to the prison is filled with gypsies. Why? Because they learn to steal when they're little boys and girls. They live this way. They learn it from their family. But, okay, they learn it from their family. Does that excuse them? They learn bad habits. We learn bad habits in our culture, and we say, this is the way it is in America. Yeah, it might be that way in your world. That's not in my world. I'm taking it back. You are an enemy of mine. You have no right to that. That's not yours. That's mine. You kind of follow. I'm just provoking you to think with me. Do you have any fight for you in you for what is true? Or are you going to let truth fall in the street? Do you have any fight in you when this woman is murdering the whole family and taking over? And you are to say, and the Holy Spirit is in us to say, we have love, and we love the truth, and we want truth in our life, and we want Jesus to bless us in our life, and we want Jesus to be our King, and Jesus cares about it. Yeah, okay, finishing. Look at verse 29 again. Your enemies shall be found liars. Liars, liars, pants on fire. Go ahead, say it with me, just to have fun. Liars, liars, pants on fire. Yeah, wow. I don't know. You have to have sex, like, before you get married. Why? Why do you say that? Why, is that true? Is that really, like, I want God's way. I want God's way. What's God say about it? Ethics in a permissive society. I want to study that. What is ethic? What does God say? We are Christians. We are different. We have the power. We have the Holy Spirit in us. We have the name of Christ. I'm not saying that people we aren't perfect, but I am saying I'm looking for the truth when the truth is a little boy kind of hiding under a bed and just not knowing what is going on. But God kept him alive. And that little seed that's in your heart and the hearts of many people around us, that seed is there to be fed, to be watched over, to be cared for, to grow up and to get to the truth and for the truth to be embraced. So last thing, verse 29, it says, your enemies be found liars unto you, and you shall tread upon their high places. Tread means like walking. Tread, and we'll put here high places. What are high places? I don't really know exactly, but in the mountainous regions where Israel was to go into the promised land, there were like fortresses and high places, cities, and the Jews were to take it over, and they were to find that their enemies aren't in charge. God gave it to the Jews. They were to go in and take the land. And I think it's a metaphor for us too. When I was afraid as a young man or a young woman, I'm afraid, or I've been beat up in life and I'm a victim of misfortune and maybe being mistreated in high school. I remember counseling people in Europe where they got shamed publicly in high school, or they had a bad self-image, or beaten up by their parents, and those kind of things. So I'm under that. It's almost like this thing is a high place. But I find that it's a lie, that Christ doesn't say this about me, that I have a new life. I find that God has made us in His image. I find it's a lie that she wants me to all the time live my life subject to her and her lies. That's the picture there. And so, good counsel from the counselor, God, will say to you in your heart, she's not in charge. That those squatters don't own that property. There's somebody with a legal title. They have the right. And they could come with the police and take their property back. And it's theirs, you know. That's the idea. So I would say the counsel that the Holy Spirit can give you in these coming months and years is counsel that you can get a hold of, and it will be not just from the pulpit, it'll be in your heart with your Bible by the Holy Spirit in your heart, And you'll start be embracing that. You have been embracing it. You do embrace it. But for some of us, we're at the beginning stages and we're learning. But I would like to challenge you. There might be some area in your life where you can say, not going to happen. I'm taking a stand, and watch the enemy melt. The enemy melt. Now, another thing is, a lie is very good if it's hidden. So I'm going to hide here. Like, I've told you a lie, I've lied to you, and that's the way it is. Like, all the seed is dead, I am the queen, and that's the way it is, and she's there like she's hiding. But one good thing that happens that God does for the Jews is, like, he pushes the lie out in front of you like this, and you're there, and you see it's a lie. You see it. You go, no. Oh, what? It's like the Wizard of Oz. Like, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Like, they don't want to be found. But when Christ came into the world, this is what he showed us. That I am the way, the truth, the life. I give you a higher quality life. I give you love. I am the Prince of Peace. I am the mighty God, the everlasting Father. I am wonderful. The government is on my shoulder, not on the lie, but it's on my shoulder. And I am for you, not against you. You know, the sweetest times that I have, and I'll just finish with this, is sitting with a few people in the Spirit, and we're just talking about Jesus. And just having a good, edifying time. Fresh things that comes, like fresh word. Oh, that's good. Fresh sentence. Fresh definition. Fresh things. And we all are like there. And then, like the lies around us are exposed. And you know, when there is a lie and you know it is a lie, it's kind of becomes like a joke. Give you an example. I don't know. Just a lie, like I sometimes use Napoleon Bonaparte, you know. Like, I should come up with a new one. But Napoleon Bonaparte is Chinese, actually. Really, he's Chinese. Are you serious? He is French, right? No, he's Chinese. So I lie. But it's so obviously a lie that it's like a joke, you know, and so on. So God has a way of making the lies to us apparent. And when we see them, they are discredited automatically. Like, you're not going to go out of here wondering, is Napoleon Chinese or French? You know that he's French. And the whole thing has no weight. It has no authority. It doesn't mean anything. It's like a joke. Could you be in a place where it is sad that people that are believing lies and are in bondage to them, where you would pity people? You would love them and feel sorry for those that are embracing things that destroy their lives. And they are. And that's God's business, and we are sorry about it, but it cannot destroy your life, and it can't be how you and I are, because we are called to something better. Amen. Would you say a prayer with me? Lord Jesus, many of us, I don't really know what this means in our lives. In one way, I don't know exactly, but maybe you could make it evident, and you have, perhaps tonight, made it clear to somebody. that I think I'm living in some lie. And I want to take my territory and walk in truth and be a minister of that truth, because people need it. Help us, Lord. Help us in our country. Help us in our neighborhoods. Help us in our church. Help us at work. Help us in our relationships, Lord. We pray. And then anyone here not a believer yet, come to Jesus tonight. The door is open for you to come to Jesus. It's your decision. It's not joining a church. It's coming to Jesus right now by faith in him. Talk to him, pray to him, trust him. He will answer you. He's a living God, the living God. And he is for you so much. He is for you. Amen.